Welcome to the Michael Rivero What Really Happened radio program.
And aloha, America. I'm hearing my own voice coming back to me from the control room. But welcome to our show, and it's a Monday. And to start right off, I'm going to ask the gentleman in the control room to see about not sending my voice feed back this way. Ah, there. No, it's still there. All right, while they work to sort out that technical problem, obviously the big news today is that the Dow Jones Industrial Average did slip below 7,000. It's in the 6,000s, not by a little bit, but by a huge amount. It ended 300 points down at 6763. Now, not that long ago, back in October 9th, 2007, the Dow ended at 14,069. So what we have here is basically in less than the space of 2 years, more like a year and a half, the stock market has lost more than half its value. And this, I think, more than anything else, shows the severity of this economic downturn. There are a lot of people out there that are saying we are already in a depression. We are in a worse depression than the so-called Great Depression. There are observers out there who, as I have often said, this may be the end of the United States as we have known it. We're talking about the shattering of the U.S., the way the USSR fell apart. And, of course, the good news is there that if you look at what happened in the Soviet Union, after it fell apart and the dictatorship went away, there was a period of struggle and confusion. Then they started to pull together the new Russian Republic. They kicked out the oligarchs, and life in Russia is considerably better than it was before. So I think the good news is here. Yes, we're facing a time of transition that is going to be very, very, very difficult. But I think coming out the other side, we're going to have a new country or new countries with hopefully better fiscal sense. The current government, when it collapses, will take its obscene level of debt with it, which means the taxes you pay to the new government will go to services and infrastructure, not just shoveling it into the furnace of debt with a Federal Reserve-like bank living off of the sweat of your, the sweat of your body for your entire life. And if you really want to know just how biased the system is against you, for those of you who still have a home and still have a mortgage, actually work out your monthly payment over the term of the mortgage and then subtract the original purchase price of the house, and that's how much you have paid the banks for the loan. And you will be shocked to find out that the actual cost of the house is a tiny, tiny fragment of your total debt to the mortgage company. The mortgage company makes many times the cost of the house off of you for that house. Talk about a return on investment. And it's all because of this compound interest deal. And this is the reason, this extremely usurious attitude, this is what the Islamic banking systems are trying. They've avoided it. They have a much more reasonable approach to the lending of money, which is why, as the entire world economy staggers to a halt, the Islamic banking system is doing just fine. And this is probably one of the reasons why, as a last dying gasp of what is possibly soon to be the end of the United States, we're attacking all of the Islamic countries. Because if you go back and you study history, this is why all of a sudden Hitler became everybody's worst bad guy. Because coming in the aftermath of World War I and Germany was struggling, and they had this terrible runaway inflation, not unlike what we're starting to see here in the United States. And all of it was tied to this idea of a debt-based monetary system and compounding of interest and just runaway inflation trying to deal with the fact that is true with all debt-based monetary systems. The instant it goes into effect, more money is owed than actually exists. And sooner or later, when you can no longer find new borrowers to justify the creation of new money, it all comes apart, which is what's going on right now. Adolf Hitler, and yes, he was a jerk and he did lots of terrible things, but he had a couple of good ideas, the Volkswagen for one. What he did is he abandoned this debt-based, interest-bearing monetary system from the Weimar Republic, and he instituted a new currency with a fixed unit of worth and turned Germany's economy around, lit Germany up like a Christmas tree. It was so successful in reviving Germany's economy that Hitler was Time Magazine's Man of the Year, I think in 1937, if I recall correctly, because of this miracle of economic growth he'd brought to Germany. And, of course, this made all the rest of the bankers in the world scared out of their minds, because the last thing they wanted was for the rest of the world to look at what was going on in Germany and say, hey, we need that banking system here, because it's going to allow us to have more wealth in our pockets instead of spending our entire lives shoveling wealth into the pockets of the bankers. And so at that point, all the world's bankers literally declared war on Germany, tried to organize a global boycott against Germany to wreck Hitler's economy before it started looking really, really attractive to the ordinary working person of the world. And that was really what set the stage for World War II. Was that boycott to destroy a competing alternative economic model. Well, Germany has come and gone. Now it's down. When they talk about the clash of civilizations, this is what they're talking about. The conflict between two different models of banking systems. The compound interest, debt-based monetary system of the West and the Islamic model. And the current Western banking clique establishment, they are terrified that people are going to start looking objectively at what's going on in the Islamic countries and saying, you know, good, bad, or indifferent, there is no question that the banking system is far less destructive of ordinary, everyday, working class people than the system that we have right now. And so this is why they're, even as our country staggers on the edge of a fiscal cliff, there is such a push, war on Iran, war on, we've got to make war on all these countries who don't play the banking game by the rules that we're all supposed to know and love. So as you look at the Dow Jones taking a major, major plummet, we're looking at the worst job losses in 60 years. Manufacturing is still continuing to decline, and we have a government whose only solution is to loot the working class people, to hand money to more people who've got so much money they can't even remember how many homes they own. And that is their solution to the whole thing. And as it all comes grinding to a halt, we have reached the time in our history where we need to start thinking seriously about what we're going to do after the United States, because I don't see it lasting very much longer at all. Not at all. This is exactly what was happening to the Soviet Union. We need to study what they did. How did they get through the collapse of the Soviet Union? We need to learn from their mistakes. What did they do right? Let's do that. Let's plan that. What did they do wrong? Let's avoid that. Did getting rid of the oligarchs improve their economy for the ordinary working class people? Yes, it did. We need to be thinking about that. Meanwhile, of course, being unable to completely fix the economy, everybody's looking for scapegoats. The Republicans are blaming the Democrats. They're even going so far as to try and take everything that the Bush administration did wrong with the economy and say, oh, no, Obama did that, and his people did that, and that's why it's only showing up now, which is a complete lie, because the economy started falling apart in September of last year, before the election. Meanwhile, of course, the Democrats are blaming the Republicans. And you know something? It doesn't matter. Both parties are equally to blame, because both parties were in Congress during the Bush administration. Each party had a turn at being in control. They rubber-stamped everything that Bush did. Both parties are guilty. Republicans are politicians are guilty. Democratic politicians are guilty. And arguing over whose neck deserves the tallest tree and the shortest rope is a complete waste of time, which is why they're trying to trick you into doing that. They want to divide the country along party lines so that the Republicans are blaming the Democrats and the Democrats are blaming the Republicans. And we're not uniting as one American people to really look at where the cause of the problem is. We're still seeing the media trying to scapegoat the subprime mortgages. Paul Krugman is saying people who are saving money, trying to save money, that they're the bad guys now because they should be out spending it just as hard as they can to get the economy going again. They're so desperate to wring that last penny out of you. We're going to take a break here. If you want to join us on the air, 800-259-9231, 800-259-9231. We'll be back after these words from our sponsors.
The This is Cascadia Public Radio.
Here we live, my friends, in a simple ton society. Propaganda pours through the corporate mainstream news, and the stations try to pass it off as normality. We fail to see the forces that control our present views.
Feed us with anyway, aloha, America. Welcome back to the show here. We've got callers on the line, people in the chat room. The webcam is running, emails coming in, all kinds of stuff. People are very concerned about what's going on. They're very unhappy. They're very worried. We're going to get to the callers in a minute, but I got a couple of things to comment on real quick. Obviously, during this last commercial break, we had the commercial for the seed company. And I have a couple of comments about that. First of all, there was a story earlier today where 4 tons of fertilizer have been stolen. And the story basically said nobody's sure about the motive. And the spin here obviously was, you know, AMFO, terrorism, so forth and so on. You know, but I think the story was written by City Kids. Because 4 tons of fertilizer, it is getting into springtime, despite the storms. It's hard economic times. People are starting to grow gardens just to survive. Yeah, they're going to steal fertilizer. There's, you know, and it's wrong to steal the fertilizer, but trying to wave this around is another reason to be afraid of terrorists, I think, is extraordinarily, it's just more of the, what the bump song was saying. It's propaganda. They're trying to keep us scared and psychologically dependent on the government. That, I think, is failing. I think America is starting to wake up to the fact that they are the children of an abusing parent, and it's time to poke that abusing parent right in the nose and say, cut it out. Anyway, AIG is getting yet another bailout. Yet another bailout. Why? Why are they getting more of our money? If they can't run their company without taxpayer bailouts, they should close the doors and go out of business. Now, why are they getting all this special treatment? Why are the taxpayers being looted to prop up these companies? Well, interestingly enough, the news article on AIG's latest bailout uses the word unwinding. And this is kind of financial code speak, because what they're talking about here is not subprime mortgage exposure. They're talking about the derivatives. We've talked about the derivatives many, many times. Derivatives were these wonderful little inventions, these fabrications of the rules, that allowed Wall Street speculators to make billions of dollars on $100 shares of stock. When, you know, when the real estate market was going up and it was boom times, derivatives would allow you to multiply your earnings by 10 or 100 or 1,000 times. Of course, the downside is when you go into losses, the derivatives fly back the other way. And the problem is, for all the focus on the subprime mortgage borrowers as the bad guy, the reality is that the real losses happened in the derivatives, this Wall Street casino game. There was a run of bad luck, and they've hit what's called gambler's ruin. Everybody was floating it along, saying, our luck's got to turn, our luck's got to turn, it's got to start getting better, and they didn't. They hit gambler's ruin. And what is going on here, and you should be angry about this, it's like musical chairs. The music has stopped. Everyone's grabbing a chair, and whoever's left without a chair gets all the accumulated debts. And right now, that's you. That's the taxpayer. All these bailouts you're doing is they're transferring the losses from all of the gains at Wall Street that they lost. The losses are being transferred onto you. A trillion here, spread it around, make it all better, allow them to balance the books so that they can, you know, avoid going to jail the way Madoff and Stanford and those other guys have already done or are on their way to going. And so AIG apparently is up to its neck in derivatives. That's why for a while they were this incredibly rich company, because it was all being done in derivatives. Now it's gone back the other way. They are getting the government to stick you with these losses. I mean, we are, with the passage of this last bailout bill, we the people are now on the hook for a total of $9.5 trillion. Now, that is almost enough to pay off every mortgage in the entire country. whether it's in trouble or not, for $9.5 trillion could pay off almost all the mortgages in the country. Everybody would own their homes free and clear. No more interest payments, no more nothing. $9.5 trillion is more than the combined gross domestic product of Italy, Spain, Canada, Brazil, Russia, India, and 167 more countries. If you took the world gross domestic product, the entire world, planet Earth, and you took off the top five countries, they still would be making less than $9.5 trillion. That's how much the U.S. government has borrowed on your behalf and showered onto Wall Street and the investment brokerages and their good buddies like that. $9.5 trillion. It works out to about $35,000 for every American. And because there are Americans who do not pay taxes, such as the very young children, the very old retirees, and all the illegal aliens, the reality is this bill is going to hit the taxpayers a lot harder. And if you're in an upper income tax bracket, it's going to hit you even harder than that. Somewhere in the coming years, you're going to be paying back this $35,000, $40,000, $50,000, $60,000 in taxes plus accruing interest, for which you will receive absolutely nothing in return from the government. Now, they're starting to talk about nationalizing the banks, and all this means, and the reason I'm opposed to it, it would hardwire taxpayer bailouts to the banks. So from now on, they wouldn't have to go to Congress to say we need more taxpayer money to bail us out. They could do whatever they want, lose whatever money they want, put whatever they want in their own pocket, and they'll just go to the Treasury and say, we need you to cover these losses. And it goes on the taxpayers' chit. And that's exactly the reaction word I had when I heard about it as well. So we're going to go to the phones real quick. We're going to talk to Renee in North Carolina. Aloha, Renee. Welcome to the show. We're probably going to have to take you into the next segment after the commercial break, but what is on your mind?
Well, yes. In their zeal to place the blame on us, one minute they say that everything is our fault because we spent too much money. And in the next breath, a few minutes down the road, they'll be going, oh, no, you didn't spend enough money. You need to get out and spend more money. So it's like no matter what we do, we get the blame, okay? Because they have to get this meme in our mind that somehow this is our fault, so we don't go looking to hold somebody accountable. And then also, people can think about it this way. Our politicians borrowed, put my name on the note, okay, money to give to the banks. Now I have to pay that back, principal and interest, okay, for them to give to for free the money to the banks so they can loan it back to me where I would have to pay principal and interest again. So I have to pay for the principal and interest on the same money twice on money that was given to the bank. Now, I'm hoping that, you know, that can really make it clear, you know, to people. I mean, it's like, why can't, not this genre, but it's like, why can't people understand what a huge scam this is?
Oh, it is. It's a huge scam. It absolutely is. They're robbing the poor to give to the rich. Renee, we have to take a break here for some commercials, so hang on to the phone. Don't go away. And Bill in Texas, we're going to get to you next segment, I promise. 800-259-9231. Donovan is answering the phones. We will be right back after these words from our sponsors.
This is the GCN Radio Network.
Welcome to the Michael Rivero What Really Happened radio program. Call Mike now at 800-259-9231. 800-259-9231.
And we're going to go right back to the phones. We've got Renee in North Carolina. Renee, yes, you're absolutely correct. It is a scam. The bottom line is that those who are in positions of power are going to make their problems your problems. They're going to dump their debts onto you. They're going to keep their profits. That is the essence of a fascist economy, where profits are kept private but losses are socialized. And any way you want to cover it, it's basically looting the people to make themselves rich. They no longer have have to bother making a product we want to buy or persuading us to buy. They're just taking the money from us by brute force. Somewhere around here in the story of Robin Hood, arrows start finding, you know, targets in the very fat bottoms of some of these people who are doing this. Unfortunately, Robin Hood is just a fairy tale and it's not likely to really happen. But we are at that stage of the game where they're just going to go on taking from the people until the people are either, you know, so poor there's nothing left worth taking, or they're going to stand up and they're going to say no more. Because, I mean, just think about it. The government has put you some $35,000 to $40,000 deeper in debt in the last 6 months. In other words, the government is driving you into debt faster than you can work your way out. Obviously, this is a situation that has one and only one outcome, and that is the collapse of the U.S. government from too much debt. So we really only have two choices. One, we can let ourselves get dragged down to abject poverty with them, or we can stop throwing good money after bad and say, okay, it's time to bring this show to a close, you know, and start, you know, go back to the Constitution and start all over again with a new country with better fiscal sense. Because, think for a moment, even if you and your children and your grandchildren and your great-grandchildren spent your entire lives working for bare subsistence and giving everything else to the government to get them out of this financial mess, what would we buy for all that work and sacrifice? We would still have a government that lies to us. We'd still have a government that's reading our email. We'd still have a government that is listening to our phone calls. We'd still have a government that just flat out does not trust us and treats us like we are slaves.
Yes, and this is the problem. It's a culture of corruption. It's not just the people at the top. It's every little weaselly government employee who brown noses, looks the other way, goes along with this for his little cut of the action. The thing is, I see nothing, no way out of this, like I say, until the government collapses to where, look, I'm sorry, you don't have a job, you don't have a pension, you don't have your nice cushy little health insurance that we paid for while we didn't have it for ourselves because the government has collapsed, or civil war, because you cannot dynamite these people out. They're gonna cling on by their fingernails and, you know, you can't get rid of them. They're
like an Alabama tick. They're just dug in there. I mean, we've got, you know, once again, Obama can't find anybody for his cabinet that isn't in tax trouble. Ron Kirk is now in trouble for taxes. And right now the Internal Revenue Service is trying to collect more than $1 billion, in fact, multiple billions of dollars in unpaid taxes from half a million federal employees. So the people in the government, they're not even paying their taxes.
Well, that's just necessary. You know, I wouldn't mind if I got services. But I know, having lived on this planet and having to deal with these people for so long, you try and go and get them to just do their job. You know, I really wouldn't mind paying for services and stuff. But the thing is, we pay for the service, and then when you try to go get the service, you know, when you try to go get people, look, here's a criminal in government, here's the evidence, mm-hmm. And I was so glad because it validated what I've been through, like that Markopoulos guy handed mm-hmm. on a platter to the SEC about Bernie Madoff for years. The thing is, I wouldn't mind paying these people, but they don't do their job.
That's absolutely correct. And, you know, the situation with Bernie Madoff and Stanford and the two they have just arrested,
mm-hmm.
it's looking like there was a blind eye turned and that all or at least most of them have been playing these games while the economy started into a decline. And they were all doing a nudge, nudge, wink, wink, let us get away with it for now. And when the economy gets better, we'll square everything and put the books back the way they should be. And then, of course, the economy didn't get better and they got caught. And, you know, now the government is trying to figure out some way they can keep the lid on the fact that they let these guys run all these pyramid schemes because they were getting campaign donations.
And I think, like what you were talking about, AIG, I think that's where they're trying to hold up AIG. I think if that collapses, there's going to be so many cracks that the American public is going to be able to see through that a lot of it is going to be revealed, and that's why they're trying to hold it together.
Absolutely, you're right. Renee, we got to let you go here because we've got another caller on the line who's been very, very patient. So aloha and call back in again, and we're going to switch over to Bill in Texas. Aloha, Bill. Welcome to the show, and what's on your mind today?
Aloha. I was on your website the other day and noticed several articles with the headline containing the abbreviation OMFG. And I was wondering, what does that mean?
Oh, my F-blank God. You can fill in the blank for yourself.
I just wanted to point out that gratuitously offending your audience is kind of a stupid thing to do, because probably 98% of the people who go there are offended by that, as I am.
Well, I'm sorry.
If you're trying to drive people away, why don't you just shut down your website?
Well, I think maybe that, first of all, the OMFGs are being put in by some of the members who, because they are members, are allowed to post their articles there. And in the spirit of the First Amendment, we're not going to censor them. And the bottom line is, it's not a website to which people of a strong religious bent, should go for reinforcement of their myths, because, we hold a lot of religious institutions to task. We've gone after the pedophilia scandal in the Catholic Church. We've gone after a lot of the corruption that we're seeing among the clergy. And I have no problem with people who personally want to believe in a god or gods or the flying spaghetti monster or any of that stuff. I do have a problem with people who exploit those beliefs and myths in order to control other people, to extract money from them, worse, to send them off to wars of conquest. So, sorry you don't like the site. And you know something? There's a lot of other websites out there which you're probably going to enjoy much more, and good luck finding them, and thank you very much for the call. All right, we're going to move along, and the first thing I'm going to do is I'm going to offend a bunch of other people, in this case, the global warming cult. The Great Britain is suffering currently under their coldest winter in the last 13 years. And they're already looking at another winter storm bearing down on them that they're very concerned is going to cause a great deal of hardship. A major winter storm has hit the northeast. The White House is like totally inundated with snow. I've heard they're trying to find Al Gore's hockey stick so they can burn it to stay warm. And I wanted to go back to a story because a lot of people said, why is all this confusion? Because you've got the global warming cult saying that the Arctic Sea is melting and the ice is gone and it's getting warmer. And then you've got other people saying, no, there's actually more ice there than there has been in past years. And what it comes down to is there was a satellite with a sensor system that was being used to collect data for the global warming research community, and it had a faulty sensor. And because of the faulty sensor, the data that these particular scientists were getting underestimated the extent of Arctic sea ice by about 500,000 square kilometers, call it 190,000 square miles, basically the size of California. And that is the discrepancy. And what they're saying is they're calling it sensor drift, in that the sensor was misreading the water temperatures and was reading basically frozen water as just above the melting point. And so it was a data glitch that caused it. But we're still seeing, this incredible push on this whole global warming thing, because on it rests a future agenda of global control and more taxes. All the governments on Earth right now, at all levels, federal, state, local, they're looking for anything where they can take more money away from the people to keep themselves going in the manner to which they've become accustomed. And global warming is this great device. They have been selling it as hard as they can, and it's falling apart right in front of them. They're trying to figure out some way they can justify pushing this lemon on the people of the world. We're going to take a break here. More commercials. We'll be back after these words from our sponsors.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show here. And we've got chatters in the chat room and a lot of email coming in. One of the people in the chat room brought up a very, very good point about Bill from Texas Call. He says, how can he be offended by the OMFG when he claimed not to know what it meant at the start of the phone call? And that's a very, very good point. How does he know he's supposed to be offended if he doesn't know what it really means? I have a hunch, and one of the listener emails is saying exactly the same thing. that this gentleman may be more offended by an article I put up there called From Those Wonderful Folks Who Brought You the Inquisition, which is a very long and ongoing evolved page regarding religion and my views of it. And for those of you who don't know yet, I am an atheist, thank God. And, you know, like I said earlier, I don't have an issue with people who want to believe in things. And I'm not emotionally invested in going out and convincing you of my point of view. And the way that you tell the difference between the atheists and the religious fanatics is the atheists don't tie the religious fanatics to stakes and set them on fire to convince them of their point of view. And that is the main difference right there. So I put this article out, and in response to some of the things that we see from the organized religious industry that are not very pleasant, such as the pedophilia situation. And it is a very long, involved page, and it's very hard to refute because it relies on sources that even the religious people agree are valid sources. And a lot of religious people don't like it, and I think Bill may have been one of them. But he didn't want to talk about that page and call attention to it, so he went in with the OMFG. But as I said before, when you are a member at the What Really Happened website, you are allowed to post articles and your comments on those articles. And because of the spirit of the First Amendment, we don't censor that. The only time we will go in and change an article is if we know it is factually incorrect, or if it is inciting to violence or a criminal act in a non-humorous satirical way. I mean, we always talk about tarring and feathering as a metaphor for our unhappiness with the government. We're not actually planning and going out on and doing it. But other than those common sense provisos, member stories go up as they are posted, and the OMFGs, you know, and for all I know, you know, I'm assuming on my part, it may mean, you know, fricking, you know, oh my fricking goodness. That may be what it means. So I don't know that I'm supposed to be offended by it, and certainly Bill can't know about it either. He just had an axe to grind. All right, moving along here. You mean there's no Santa Claus? Yes, I'm sorry, there's no Santa Claus. Another story that we had this last week, and I wanted to talk about it really briefly. There was a story where this involves President Obama's new helicopter fleet. He has gone out and spent a huge amount of money on a brand new fleet of presidential helicopters, and they're very nice helicopters, as befits the President of the United States. A lot of people irked by this because he did not buy them from an American provider. They're bought from, I believe, a company in France. Huge amount of money, very expensive contract, went to a foreign company. Not exactly a good way to be stimulating the American economy. Be that as it may, the story went out this last week that the exact technical details, blueprints of these helicopters, as well as the full avionics, were accidentally left on a peer-to-peer networked server. And apparently these plans for the presidential helicopters were downloaded by an IP in Tehran, Iran. And so we're seeing all these stories about Iran has stolen the plans to the presidential helicopters. Well, let us up front stipulate that Iran is probably spying on the United States as hard as they can, because frankly, if the United States said that they were going to come out here and invade What Really Happened, I'd be spying on them too, trying to figure out what they're up to start a war that I don't want. But if Iran is spying on the United States and they're looting American computers for sensitive information, do you really think they're going to do it using an IP that's traceable back to Tehran? I'm sure Iran has got operatives in many other countries with which to do this kind of work, where there is a cutout to prevent being traced back to Iran. And secondarily, I mean, let's look at who is most wanting the United States and Iran to get into a war. And so I call attention to the story because if something were to happen to one of these helicopters, with or without Barack Obama on board, we're seeing what appears to be a false flag or a false trail being laid to pin the blame on Iran ahead of time. And as we seem to have one false flag after another, after another, after another, after another, to trick us constantly into making war on Israel's enemies, we need to be aware of the possibility that this story, too, is a false trail. Simply because if Iran was going through U.S. computers looking for sensitive information, they're not going to use a computer inside Tehran, Iran, to do it. They're going to go through another host somewhere else, a cutout. They're going to use agents planted in other cities, in other countries, to do this. It doesn't make sense. Now, I want to talk real briefly about Israel. First of all, in the new federal budget that Obama has just put out, amazingly enough, there is no mention of foreign aid to Israel. Sorry for the stammering. I'm responding to a comment from the control room. And there's no mention of aid to Israel. Now, that doesn't mean that it isn't there. It's probably hidden someplace else. But what it does signal is that Barack Obama is beginning to understand that giving more money to Israel is becoming a political liability with the American people. Which brings us to the aid to Gaza. Now, you and I and every other American taxpayer paid the bill for Israel's recent attack on Gaza. The white phosphorus shells were made in the U.S. You and I paid for them. The missiles, the airplanes, the overhead drones, all of that stuff came from U.S. military aid. And by the way, it is illegal for the U.S. to be giving this aid to Israel if they're going to use it for offensive purposes. They're only supposed to use it for defense. They're not supposed to use it to invade other people's lands, only to protect Israel itself. Proper. There's also the issue of the Symington Amendment to the Foreign Appropriations Bill and Israel's possession of nuclear technology outside the controls of the Nuclear Non-Proliferation Treaty, but we're not going to get into that one today. But here we have, after spending all of our taxpayer money to give Israel the weapons to lay waste to Gaza, now they're going to send $900 million of, again, of our money to make it all better. Except that there's a wrinkle in this. Two-thirds of that money, $600 million of it, is going to the Palestinian Authority. These are the people who lost the election that Israel and the U.S. want to be in charge of Gaza and the West Bank, so they're going to give them the money. And Gaza, which actually got bombed and attacked, only gets $300 million, and it is only to be used to bring in food and medicine and other such aid. It is not to be used to allow them any construction materials with which to rebuild the schools and hospitals and everything that got bombed. So, again, game playing, and ultimately you pay for it all. We're going to go to the phones. We've got Scott in Texas. Aloha, Scott. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind today?
Hey, Mark. First time caller. How you doing?
I'm doing fine. Welcome to the show.
Great. I've been listening to you for a while. A couple questions. The Zeitgeist movie, how informative do you believe it is? Do you believe in it, or do you think the guy touches on a few good topics, or no? I think the whole government, you know, bullying of other governments, that's pretty right on target, I think. I mean, as far as what's going on nowadays, it seems like Israel's trying to push Palestine right out of there, you know what I mean? Like, that's what they want, and they're using our money to do it. And
yeah, absolutely they are. Just go back and look at the maps, you know, and you will see ever since Israel's creation, they're pushing. They're expansionist. They think it's their divine right to take land away from other people. And the bottom line is that, they're just grabbing other people's land. And yeah, they want the Palestinians to go away. And, you know, it's what's really funny.
I'm sorry.
Real quick, we're almost out of time.
Yeah, real quick, I also wanted to say, I think religion in its entirety throughout history has probably been in control of everything that man has touched since day one.
Well, I know it likes to think it has, but I think accident and stupidity accounts for a lot. Okay, we're out of time here, and we had some technical glitches there at the end there, but religion likes to pretend it's in control of everything, but obviously Christianity was not in control of China in Marco Polo's time, which is why they threw Marco Polo in jail. I think, personally, the governing principles of the universe are accident and stupidity and greed, and we will be back tomorrow at 5 o'clock Central Time with more of your phone calls. Until then, stay safe, be well, hug your loved ones, and aloha, America.